Am I the narcissist? Am I the toxic person in all of my relationships? So this is something that you might be asking yourself if you're recovering codependent and if you're healing from narcissistic abuse. And today I'm here to tell you no. Podcast over. Just kidding. No, to make a good podcast, we're going to have to go a little bit longer than that. So we're going to delve into the reasons why you may be asking this of yourself and why you surely aren't. If you haven't been here before, my name is Dana Cooper and I'm a certified codependency recovery coach. And I specialize in healing from codependency trauma and narcissistic abuse. So let's get right to it, shall we? The biggest reason that you are asking yourself, am I the narcissist, is because you realize that in the relationships you've had, you may not have behaved in maybe some of the most, up and up ways. Like you may have, acted out of anger. You might have been emotionally dysregulated. Let's talk about why that is. When you are in a relationship with a narcissist, a lot of times you are going to absorb a lot of their characteristics just secondhand because these become then your coping mechanisms in the relationship. And what we call this, and I've in one of my podcasts before, I actually made reference to this, so I will link back to that in the comments. But I made a reference to narcissistic fleas, and that's what these are. So you spend a lot of time, we are the culmination of the people that we spend the most time around. So if you're spending time around people who are healthy, who are boundaried, who are more positive than negative oriented, you are going to most likely behave in those ways too. If you don't, then there's going to be something out of sync and you're not going to get along with these people and you may go find yourself a friend group that you do get along with and they're going to have the same fleas that you do. So let's touch on what some of these fleas may be. Just high level, something for you to think about at home. Maybe, I talk about emotional dysregulation. Let me give you a scenario. So this came up actually when I was doing shadow work. And it said to name a painful story. So I had this story about when I transferred to Oklahoma State. And I had done that because of a guy. And that is the worst reason to transfer colleges. I'm here to tell you that right now. That is also how I got to the University of Texas. I had not learned my lesson from this instance. We got there, and about a month after getting there, out of nowhere, the guy started acting cold and just out of character and just cold dumped me, just out of the blue. And I did not take that very well because also with that, we lived in a co-ed dorm. And along with that, he also started a smear campaign against me. And everything that he was saying were total lies. It made it hard for me to live there. I lost a majority of my friends, which of course I had known through him because he was there before me. So he told all these people, just that I was a horrible person and all these kind of things. And I couldn't go into a room without being stared at. And, I hadn't done anything. I really hadn't done anything. I was at that point, total people pleaser. That's how I had grown up. And I was doing anything and everything possible to make him happy. And one night we were out at a local bar drinking quite heavily. And I think at some point the emotional dysregulation took over. And I started just, begging for him to come back to the point where he was super annoyed and he left the bar. Now, all the bars that were in Stillwater, Oklahoma at the time were within walking distance of the college. So I don't know what it's like today. I know Eskimo Joe's probably still is. And that's a cool place. If you've never been there and you find yourself in Stillwater, Oklahoma, definitely go to Eskimo Joe's. But a little plug. However, this was not Eskimo Joe's. So this was on a row of bars that was famously known as the Strip. And I took off after him. We were walking back, and I was screaming and begging at the top of my lungs to the point where I remember like being on my knees in the middle of the sidewalk watching him walk away, and I was screaming and crying. And wow, it doesn't faze me now to tell that story, but that's super embarrassing and super painful. And it haunted me for a very long time. And every once in a while, when I feel bad about myself, that story can come up in my brain. And so that emotional dysregulation, where you've got now, great, granted, alcohol was involved, but there were also times when alcohol wasn't involved. And I was able to have my buttons pushed quite easily by people who wanted to manipulate me. And one of the things that narcissists will do is they will push your buttons until you look like the crazy one. So again, this is narcissistic fleas because they act quite irrationally, and then they press your buttons and you start acting quite irrationally because you are seeing what is modeled before you. You are seeing that that is the way to navigate this relationship. You may lie, you may cheat on a partner, you may beg for attention like I did in certain ways that are unbecoming. There are so many of these fleas that you picked up from being in a narcissistic relationship. Now, here is where it's different. The narcissist will not feel remorse for anything that they did. They don't even see that anything they did was absolutely wrong. You, on the other hand, do have some sort of empathy where you realize that what you did, the emotional dysregulation, the lying, the cheating, all that, you start to feel like, oh, that was horrible of me, and I shouldn't do those things. You have a little bit of self-awareness about it, where a narcissist won't have any self-awareness about it at all. Because a narcissist isn't self-aware, they are completely resistant to change. All of the fleas that I talked about, which they also have, but here's the difference between why they just have NPD and you have fleas, is they're resistant to change their behavior. They think everything is good, but also there's a reason why. And that is because this behavior has become their mask. Without it, there is no narcissist. They are hollow at their core. Now, frequently I've talked about codependents not knowing who they are. However, codependents will have some degree of empathy that allows them to put themselves in another person's shoes and understand that what they're doing is wrong, and on some level, that they need to change the way that they're behaving or apologize for the way that they're behaving or feel bad about the way that they are behaving. That feeling bad about the way that you're behaving is the reason why you are asking if you're the narcissist. You're asking because you're self-aware and you're empathetic. And I can guarantee you that the other person in this scenario is not asking if they are the narcissist or not. So, narcissists really love to use that shame that you have about the way that you behaved, and they will throw it in your face, or they'll make a smear campaign about you. And that just adds to the questions in your head, like, am I the toxic person? Am I the narcissist? Here again is the difference. If you actively are working on yourself and doing better, you're becoming more emotionally regulated. You understand that outbursts like that need to be handled. You know, your emotions that get that intense need to be handled in a more constructive way, in a different way. I'm not saying don't feel, absolutely feel all your emotions, However, getting drunk in public and kneeling down on the street and yelling at the top of your lungs is not the way to handle that. But if you are working on these things and you're working on bettering yourself as a person, you are not the narcissist. It may feel like it sometimes. You may have lost all your friends because on this healing journey, you realized that your friends weren't the best and they were only using you for certain things. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself without friends. Sometimes the narcissist will cut off all of the friendships that you had because they take all the friends with them. A lot of times, narcissists will cut you off from your family, from friends you used to have before. You start treating your friends that you brought into this relationship differently because you have these fleas. So then you're not very nice to them either. And you lose those friends. And so you find yourself at the end of these relationships essentially alone and having to start over. And one thing that people love to say about narcissists is that they end up alone. And so now here you are alone and you're going, oh my gosh, am I the narcissist? Again, you're the one with the self-awareness. I am going to 100% guarantee you, and I said this before earlier in the podcast, if you are questioning it, you are not the narcissist. They are not sitting around wondering, wow, I was pretty mean to Dana. You know, maybe I should apologize. Like, am I a narcissist? Am I like, no, that isn't happening. Have I got an apology? Maybe a fake one every once in a while when they want to keep the relationship going. But like after everything's over, like we're talking like, you know, no apologies, no apologies. And we'll probably need to get into that too, because there has to be a sense of closure in relationships with people who are narcissistic that you may have to make for yourself. I think sometimes the lack of that closure and believing your own story can lead to you questioning, am I the narcissist? And so maybe we talk about that next time on the podcast. But for right now, I think this is a good spot to end at. So am I the narcissist? No. If you're watching this, if you Googled online, am I the narcissist? Because you really wanted to know and you really wanted to do something about it, then no, you are not the narcissist. Let me try to reassure you of that right now. So go on out, have a good day today, have a good rest of your week, and make sure to make your life your mission, and we'll see you next time.